you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That was Matthew chapter 6, verse 13.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, May 8th, 2026. Oh, listening friend, I hope you joined us last week. We had a wonderful conversation, a heartfelt conversation on looking at this portion of the Lord's Prayer. Last week it was, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Some of you are familiar, forgive us our trespasses or forgive us our sins. But we had a great conversation, an interesting conversation, I hope, for all of you to think through. Have I really forgiven others? Do I still hold on to bitterness or resentment or anger? And some of that is very legitimate. Yeah, you maybe have been violated or abused or let down or circumstances in life. They're not always easy, but it's important that we learn to forgive those. We don't hold on to that bitterness because it'll really eat away at us. And so God has made a way. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can be forgiven of our own sins, but he also paid the sins for others, and we need to come to recognize that we need to seek after God. Sometimes it's hard. Pastor Mark had shared that sometimes we have to grit our teeth when we want to forgive somebody because we really aren't up to it yet, but God will take that. Those are baby steps as we learn to entrust with him those feelings, those hurts, those anguishes, those things that really have caused us to be bitter and angry. But anyways, that was an interesting discussion. If you missed it, it's archived at greatnewsradio.org and WLUJ.org under the Mark and Friends link. But today, Tim led out with, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church here in Springfield helps facilitate our discussion. And actually, last week, I know he prayed over some people, and he really has a ministering spirit about him where it's kind of like a little small group. So I hope some of you sometime can carve out time and join us as we do these broadcasts from our WLUJ studios in Springfield. And you can always call us and we can make arrangements. We kind of packed the studio last week. And so we have a group of friends again today as we look at and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Now this passage, Mark, is the wrap up of Jesus' teaching on how to pray. And what he's pointing out to us right here is the battle of life. As we live on this earth, the enemy's going to try to sidetrack us. The world's going to try to sidetrack us. Our own desires are going to try to sidetrack us. And so there's a lot of discussion on this verse about being led into temptation and what that means. On the one hand, we see that the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to face temptation. On the other hand, in James chapter 1, it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Hmm. So we have to be clear. Jesus was necessarily led to a place of temptation. God didn't tempt him. The thought is that the Father did not tempt Jesus. Jesus is of a different kind. If you think about us, we are of a humankind. We are of a fallen humankind. We are all in need of help from God, and we all have a nature that leans towards doing things that are not God's will. So if you read the last couple of chapters of the book of Judges, you'll read some of the most horrific stories that you'll read in all the Bible. I mean, they're so horrific, you go, why did God put these in here? I mean, they're just descriptive and horrific. But all of them end with that this is a time when Israel had no king and everyone did what he saw fit in his own eyes. There's your definition of sin. It's men doing what they saw fit in their own eyes. We of the sin nature, what is fit in our own eyes is selfishness, self-centeredness. It's not what is in God's nature. Jesus didn't have the sin nature. He went out into the desert and he faced temptation from the enemy who tried to get him to step into things that were not pleasing to the Father. And so he teaches us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So lead us not there. Two sources of temptation, two big sources of temptation. One is this, James 1:14. Temptation comes from our own desires. It's our sin nature, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So the first thing I have to overcome is the temptation of my own desires, my own will. That may be sexual temptation. It may be greed. It may be hatred. It may be just selfishness. So many things. Maybe the temptation to lie, but it's my temptation to live my life my way. So we're all born with this corrupted programming in us about how we sense right and wrong. So the Bible warns us, your hearts are deceitfully wicked. We are told in the Bible, lean not on your own understanding, but trust fully in God. We're told, none is good, no, not one. Trusting our heart and trusting our feelings is like trusting a faulty navigation system in an airplane. You're going to crash and burn. It's going to be bad. And so I've had people tell me, oh, it feels good. There was even this song years ago, how can it be so wrong if it feels so good? Because we're broken.
Yeah.
That's why it feels right and it's wrong. That's why I want it and it's wrong. I have these feelings mislead me because I have a sin nature. You can be sure if you've got that faulty sin nature, you're not going to end up where God wants you. So our desires, what we want and what we would like to do, is a source of temptation. And then if we actually do it, they harm us. They give birth to death. So how we are raised is not the problem. What's happened to us in life is not the problem. The culture we live in is not the problem. My family is not the problem. I am the problem.
Mm.
Now, all the people out there, they're a problem too.
Yeah.
We're all a problem. But how I react is because of the nature in me. I've seen people come out of terrible home situations and find Christ and be transformed. Mm. I've seen them come out of very wretched cultural backgrounds and come out and find Christ and be transformed. Mm. So the culture wasn't the problem. The lack of Christ was the problem. When they got Christ, they overcame things. So we're told to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and all of our ways acknowledge him, and he will make our paths straight. So that's the first thing that we're looking at when we think about how do we overcome temptation. God, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. Where's the evil at? The evil's partly in me. I've got to be delivered from me, from what I want to do, from what I desire. So in Psalm 119 it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Have you ever heard somebody say, fix your eyes on Jesus?
Mm-hmm. It's a song.
Yeah, what does that mean? How do I fix my eyes on Jesus? Do I think about him in heaven and gaze into the sky and think, he's up there, so I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus?
And when Jesus, other things aside.
And when Jesus went up in the clouds, what did the angels say?
What are you doing?
What are you gazing into the sky for? You know, why are you doing that? He's just gone up to heaven. He's going to come back someday.
I like to think they just stood up next to him and was like, so what's everyone looking at?
Yeah, what's going on? Fixing our eyes on Jesus is not looking at a picture of Jesus. It's not looking at Jesus on the cross. It's not imagining Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus is fixing our eyes on his word. The word, Jesus is the word. If I want to fix my eyes on Jesus, I fix my eyes on the word, and I guard my heart according to the word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandment, is what the psalmists say. So we pray this prayer, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Don't let my heart control me. Don't let my will control me. Don't let me control me. Don't let me be responsive like the world. let me be ordered by your word. So that's the first thing, Mark.
Well, I wrote down, as is my tendency, I glean so many different things from things you share and say. But the word sin, what's the middle letter of sin? It's I. And, you know, that's one way I've always remembered. We're motivated by our self-centeredness. Mm-hmm. It's all about us or my schedule, my priorities, what I want to accomplish. When I'm not operating in the fruit of the Spirit, it's because I'm in the flesh. It's all about me. It's my schedule, my priorities, and so forth. But also, maybe address or bring up, because this might be an aha moment for a listener that never thought about it, but the scriptures talk about where the sins of the fathers, like they're passed down. So there can be that propensity or that tendency to act or act out because maybe they've seen their father or their grandfather be that way, or maybe it's just kind of intrinsically that sin nature and some of the things that they do, you're now doing, and you never thought about, oh, maybe it's because of my father also, even though it's individual choices. But isn't there that sense that the sins of the fathers can be passed down?
I don't necessarily believe that there's a curse. I believe that we have a nature, and I may have learned how to respond in that nature because of the way I've been treated. My father was very clear with me that I should look at the things in his life that were good, righteous, and biblical, and follow after them. And I've tried to share this with my children. But if you see things in me that don't match Scripture, don't follow those things. Do different than that. All of us have this responsibility to see the Word as our source of faith and conduct, and let the Word guide our life. But there is a tendency for us to repeat the same sin because the enemy tells us the same lies.
Or they've modeled those behaviors. Like, just say it's an anger issue, and we always saw our mom and dad maybe act out in that way. So it's not necessarily we have anger issues, but that's how we've
This is how
learned.
We fix things. Yeah. This is how we get things done.
Yeah.
This is what we do. And the Word will bring it clear to us that the anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. As soon as I understand that scripture, I understand my anger doesn't help me. It's like the guy who goes out and gets drunk and he says, you know, I want to go out and get drunk. I said, well, let me ask the question I always ask. The last time you got drunk, did you make good decisions or bad ones?
Sure.
I've never had somebody yet say, I made the three best decisions of my life when I was drunk. No, I made the three worst decisions of my life when I was drunk. Yeah. Well, why do you go put yourself in that place?
Yeah.
I've got to see what's harming me, and the scripture reveals what's harming me. Now, the second source of temptation, Mark, is the evil one. We're praying for deliverance from the evil one. The evil one's chief strategy for temptation is to lie to us. So he comes to us, the Bible says, as an angel of light. He comes looking good, like he's the answer, like he's got wonderful intent for us. He comes as a roaring lion, seeking our weakness to see how he can devour us. But don't forget this, the enemy's real. Now, probably none of us in this room, none of us listening, have probably ever come face to face with the devil himself. He's a finite being. He's not an infinite being, but he has a lot of workers. He has all kinds of workers. And dealing with his workers is enough of a battle for me.
Yeah, and some, what, the minions or the demons or different ways.
All kinds of. You read about it in Ephesians chapter 6. But what he uses the lie. What did he do to Jesus? He lied to Jesus.
Twisted scripture
with Jesus. What did he do to Eve and to Adam in the garden? He lied to them. He twisted them. He does this all throughout our lives. He twists and he lies to us. That's why we have to know the Word. So today, he lies. He tells a little boy, you're not a boy, you're a girl. He tells a little girl, you're not a girl, you're a boy. He tells people that, oh, you can have sex outside of marriage. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. He tells people that there's nothing wrong with pornography. Laugh about it. Puts it in our sitcoms. So we'll laugh at it instead of being appalled by it. He tells married people, you can deceive your spouse with money. It's not going to cause any harm in your marriage. He encourages us to be selfish. He tells us losing our temper is understand. Anybody would lose their temper in that set of circumstances. On and on he goes, lying to us where we're weak, where we're susceptible. He knows what our desires are. He plays off them. He knows where we're ignorant because we haven't studied the Word. So he plays on that place of ignorance, and we end up finding ourselves in the middle of something that is sin.
And he also, and this is a huge one that many people maybe don't take into consideration, he masks what our true identity is in Christ. He helps us fail to recognize that we are beloved by the Father, that there's been a Savior sent to redeem us, and that even though we are flawed, and we talked about this last week about forgiving our sins, that our sins can be forgiven, washed away, forgotten, but our true identity is in Christ, in God. We are beloved children as we surrender and follow Him. And I think Satan does everything he can to pump us up with, we have identity in our jobs and our titles and the things we do, our money, our possessions, and so forth. But that's a false identity. So I think he does a great job at giving us false identities.
Pumps us up with pride, pumps us up with a sense of entitlement. You think about great men and women of God who are suddenly revealed to the world with a sin. Some of them seem like almost unforgivable sins, shocking sins. And you've got to think, what were they thinking? What happened to this person that preached the word so faithfully for years, this person who lived so victoriously for years? I don't think they went to bed one night full of the Holy Spirit and got up the next morning and jumped into sin. That's not how it happened. Somebody said, how did that just happen? It didn't just happen. It happened over a course of time. Somehow, that sin got introduced to their mind. Stress, marital trouble, an unresolved issue in their life. It gets in there. And instead of rebuking that sin, instead of resisting the devil, as it tells us to do in James, they rested in it. It mingled with their frustrations, and it clouded their judgments, and it was allowed to dull their biblical sense of right and wrong. And these are people who studied the Word and studied the Bible and taught it, some brilliantly for years, to the point that when you hear about it, you go, can I even use their material anymore? Mm-hmm. How could they have been that? We can't let the enemy hang around. We got to rebuke him. We got to get rid of him. Jesus did not leave the thought in mind. He didn't think this way, Mark. Wouldn't it be nice if the world bowed down to me and I didn't have to go to the cross? Boy, that'd be nice. Boy, that'd be great if I didn't have to go to the cross and get them all to bow down to me. Who would blame me for wanting that? Who would blame me for not wanting to go to the cross? He didn't put up with that. I'm here to do the will of the Father. I'm here to accomplish what He wants me to accomplish. I'm here to be submitted to Him. So Jesus rebuked those thoughts. He rejected those thoughts. What did He do? He poured the Word, the true Word, on those thoughts. So how do you overcome a prevailing thought, a prevailing sin? Well, I would say, first of all, acknowledge it as a temptation to sin. That's what it is. That's the first act of resistance. This shouldn't even be in my head. Now, my bet would be that all of us have had things run through our head this week that we needed to get out the other side as fast as possible.
Yeah, there's been times where it's like, where did that come from? I just came out of a Bible study, and I'm pretty pumped up. Yeah. I'm amped up, if you will. And then suddenly I'm like, where did that come from?
That's the spirit of the enemy. That's the enemy whispering in our ear. That's the enemy drawing our attention to something we should turn away from. That's the enemy working on a weakness in our spirit. I just got to get it out as fast as I can. Winston Churchill was famous for saying once, if you're going through hell, keep going. Get to the other side. Go as fast as you can. Don't stay where you're at. You know, there's times when we got to get to the other side. I'm getting out of this. I'm not going to look at this. I'm not going to be a part of this. The second thing is you pour the word on the thought. I look at scriptures. If I live a sexually immoral life, what does the word say about it? If I'm justifying, the enemy's trying to get me to justify stealing from my company. I work harder than everybody else. I'm mistreated. He's pouring all kinds of stuff into my heart to get me to say it's okay for me to take what isn't mine. It's right. I got to go look at what does the word say about that? What does Jesus say about it? It's okay for me to lie to my wife. What does the word say about that? It's okay for me to blow up when I'm mad. what does the Word say about that? I got to pour the Word on it, and I've got to let my spirit soak in the Word of God. I've got to ask God to renew my mind and to renew my actions. God, I don't want to think this way. I don't want to be of this nature. Deliver me from evil. Set me free from this evil. Keep my mind fresh in your Word, in your truth. And then I've got to pray for victory over the thing. So, you know, we memorize and quote these passages, and so when those things come to mind, we've got the Scripture ready. We're ready to move on. I do not want to be formed by these things. Psalm 19:14 says this, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Mm-hmm. That's a great passage to memorize. That's a great passage to pray. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight.
Psalm 119, 9, and 11, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your words." Yes. You talked about this. I seek you with all my heart. But then the 11, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." So like you said, scripture memorization, being intentional each and every day to look at his word, to think it through.
So Mark, the first thing I think is to recognize, one, I'm a sinner. In other words, I naturally want to do things my way instead of God's way. So I've got to pour the word into my heart to see where I'm a sinner, to have the revelation of where my weaknesses are. I've got to be open. It's why it's good to be in a small group with other believers that can say anything to you. This is one of the questions I ask many, many people. Who can say anything to you and you won't get mad? Mm-hmm. What Christian believer can challenge anything in your life and you won't be defensive? You'll be prayerful about it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you're submitted to them and you've got to do everything they say. It means you're going to listen to them seriously enough to pray about what they're talking to you about. I want to pour the word into my heart because I'm a sinner. I can get it wrong. Many, many times I go to my wife and I go, "I'm feeling this way. What do you think?" "I think you need to pray some more." You know, "I think you need to spend some more time with God about that."
Yeah.
"Okay, I'm going to listen to that. I'm not going to react yet. I'm going to wait until I see my heart's become checked by things." Mm-hmm. So we draw near to God in openness and honesty, and He will draw near to you, as the promise of James chapter 4. "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Take action. What do you want to be? Take action to cleanse your life from temptation. Because guess what? Great men, great women have fallen after years to temptation. Somebody out here may doctrinally disagree with me, but my dad had a guy say to him once, the guy believed that he was eternally secure. And he said to my dad, "Do you believe in eternal security or don't you?" And my dad said, "I believe in it for me. I don't believe in it for you." And the guy said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" He goes, "I know I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on God's word. I'm not sure what you're going to do." If you keep your eyes fixed on God's word, you'll be eternally secure.
Yeah. Amen.
If you keep obeying God's word, God will keep you. So draw near to Him, and He'll draw near to you.
Listening friend, Matthew 6, verse 13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Remember to acknowledge it. Acknowledge these things in prayers. Pour into the Word, the Scriptures, so that your mind can be renewed. And then pray for victory. God wants to hear from you, and He wants to walk alongside you and help you, assist you, keep you from temptation, keep you from evil, and be that fragrance of Christ to those around you. So hopefully this weekend, this very day, you can walk in victory because of Jesus Christ, not because of our own strength or gift sets or abilities, but because His Holy Spirit abides in us and can empower us to live out that fruit and bless those around us, hopefully always pointing to Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of the world.
Amen.
Well, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, and you can listen to the program anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Mark Johnson in a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.